Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
All right, let's talk a little baseball with Jim Duquette. Spent 20 years as an executive in Major League Baseball, Mets, Royals. Now you can hear him on Sirius XM's MLB Network Radio. And he joins us to kind of help us break down the trade deadline and what the Giants may be looking at and maybe what their needs are. Jim, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you got what's going on, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
Not a whole heck of a lot. Just enjoying this wacky Dodger-Giants series that has had a few twists and turns the last couple nights. It's fun watching those two teams battle each other for first place in the NL West. So let's get to the Giants. When you look at the Giants right now, is there anything you see that could make this team? I mean, they got the best record in the league. Is there anything that can give them an extra push?
Well, I always feel like when you're in this spot, I think the front office feels this way and ownership does too. Like, you get this far, even with a team that has the best record, and you go back even over the last couple of years, any of these teams that had good records, top records, they're out trying to do something because your clubhouse is expecting it, right? I mean, they've done what they were. Their job exceeded expectations in a lot of people's minds anyway, getting to this point. So I think they have to do something. I think the bullpen is kind of the obvious place just because there's more bullpen pieces out there that are available. It gives you the most flexibility, gives Kapler, another option or two. You always look at workloads and have to, figure out, we're in uncharted territory. Everybody's kind of talking about this. Even the front office people that I talk to and managers are like, hey, I don't know how much in terms of innings pitched, how that's going to affect our guys. So I think pitching in general, but most specifically bullpen, looks like Sanchez might be coming back potentially for the rotation at some point here soon. So I would say for the Giants, I'd say that right now from what I'm hearing, and also hearing a little bit of outfield side situation, but definitely bullpen for sure.
Jim Duquette, you can hear him on XM 89 on Sirius XM Radio, a baseball analyst for MLB Network Radio and former GM of the Mets. And I always love listening to you, Jim. The reliever market, I mean, first of all, the Giants, I mean, they've got a great hand of cards. Farhan's got prospects to trade if he wants to. He's got room to add payroll if he wants to. He's got incentive to go for it now because he's got a ton of guys who have World Series rings that may be gone at the end of the year, depending on what decisions they make. So they got all, and they're rolling. They got the best record in baseball. They got a great record against winning teams. Relievers are all about being current. So who's out there that's gettable outside of Kimbrel, let's say, that's really going good?
Well, the guy that I've been hearing a lot about here recently, besides Kimbrel, is a guy like Ian Kennedy. And, he's up there age-wise, 36. He doesn't cost you a ton in terms of the salary. He's got, it's a $2.1 million salary, so half of that or even less than that at this point. So it's going to cost you – it won't cost you a ton. He's a guy that gives you flexibility at the back end. He could close, if McGee was down for a day or two, he can set up for you. I mean, for me, a guy like that, I don't think at the moment, Seattle is moving him, but you could potentially go get a Kendall Graveman. I know they're kind of trying to do both. Graveman's been dominant, for the Mariners, and they have a couple guys that they could use that are going to be there long term, and they're looking for a longer term piece. So I think for me, for the Giants, one of those two guys in particular would be someone I'd be interested in. I mean, there's a guy with Miami, Yimi Garcia, who's who, you know, he was a former Dodger. For me, I'm not as interested in him. You got to keep an eye on Brad Hand if the Nationals fall out of it in the next week. It's like there's plenty of relievers, but those for me are the ones that are probably pitching the best. You could probably throw Daniel Bard into that equation. Obviously, you guys see him
Colorado.
A lot with the Rockies. Yeah.
And speaking of the Dodgers, I wanted to ask you this because I've asked a few people this about the Dodger bullpen, which I'm not a huge fan of. I will say I haven't seen the Dodgers every game, but I've seen them play a number of games. And, Gonzalez and Trinan and Jansen. Right. I mean, I don't know. The numbers seem better than what I've seen. I mean, Trinan a lot of times when he throws that sinker to right-handed hitters, it seems like that ball just lines up with the bat. And the way the bat's going. I'm just curious, what do you see in that bullpen? Because I see a team that now the starting pitching's taken a hit, too, with the Bauer situation, Kershaw being out. Of course, May went out at the beginning of the year. But what do you see in that bullpen? Because everybody I feel like, well, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I should watch more Dodger games, which probably isn't going to happen. But what do you think of that bullpen? Right.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. Trinan's one of those guys that when he is he's throwing as hard as he's able and capable. And I've seen him like mid high 90s, like he can be filthy, just a nasty bowling ball, right? But it's not always the case, and a lot of times, if you've seen him for a while, like maybe the Giants have and others within a division, when you know that pitch is coming, it's a little easier to, I'm not saying it's completely easy, but it's easier to lay off that pitch that's down because it's going to sink out of the strike zone. So I do think that, that's one area. I don't care for their overall, their lefties. They got a couple lefties that they're not quite what I'm used to seeing coming out of their pen. Kenley, has been really, really good this year, but we've seen them bad also. So I look at them and I go, all right, they're another team that are going to probably bulk up their pen. And then, we've seen this with the Dodgers too. They'll take at least one of their starters and maybe even two of them and put them in the pen during a postseason. So it's it doesn't necessarily have to be impactful. I think the Giants, same thing kind of goes for the Giants too. Like you're going to grab one of those, you can't use five and you're hardly ever going to use four. You use it once or twice during a series. So, I think that's the advantage that we see these times is, Price probably goes back to the bullpen for them, when they get healthy. So I view it as an issue now, but I don't for them in the future.
Got it.
Jimmy, who do you look at as the starters? Because who do you like? Because I don't know if the Braves are going to sell, but I love Charlie Morton, especially in October. And I can't believe Minnesota is going to trade Berrios. But if they're going to trade Berrios, I'd be in line for those two guys. Who do you like in the starting pitching market? That's good.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Berrios is the best if he's available. I'm with you. I'm skeptical that he's going to be at the end of the day. I think the price tag is really high, as it should be. I don't think, teams just haven't been willing to give up, the capital, the asset capital, the prospect capital to get him. So outside of, if you take him off, now you go to the John Grays of the world of the Rockies, Kyle Gibson in Texas. Those are the two right out of the gate. Danny Duffy is off the table. He was a guy that I think in the right situation, maybe West Coast, because he's a 10-5 guy, but he just went on the injured list. So that's probably going to knock him out. Merrill Kelly, down in Arizona is a good backhand starter. He's inexpensive, so he's expensive at the moment. Like Michael Pineda with the Twins is another name that is being thrown around. Zach Davies with the Cubs. Those are all kind of fourth starters. Gibson's pitching better than that. He's been pitching at a high level, number two. But, I don't know if he's any better than certainly not any better than what the Giants are marching out there. I don't think that he's probably a number three or even a number four. So are you really going to give up much for him, even though he's controlled for next year? So the starting rotation, the way it's shaping up, doesn't look like it's quite as strong, let's say, at the upper, number one, number two, number three type starts. Unless the Nationals fall out, then it's Scherzer, but then you got to try to negotiate a contract with his agent, Scott Boras, before you end up doing the deal.
Talking to Jim Duquette, 20 years as a major league executive with the Mets, Orioles. I think I might have said Royals early on because I'm a dummy. That's why. It was the Mets and the Orioles. Let me ask you, because I've asked a few people this who have done the job in the time frame that you did it. And I'm 55, so, when I was growing up and the trade deadline came, Yeah, teams were more willing to push in. They're like, you know what, we got a shot this year. Let's push the chips in. Like 20 years ago, this Giant team would have said, you know what, if we have to give up a prospect or two to get like two impactful guys to try to extend our lead and give ourselves a better chance, especially trying to stay out of the wild card game. What happened? Because nobody really, it doesn't matter what your record is nowadays, everyone's looking for value, and everyone wants to have prospects that don't get cost certainty and they don't make. But back then, it was like GMs thought, well, they're prospects because they're in the minor leagues. And if they're in the minor leagues, they're not helping us out, and we're just projecting that they're going to help us out. Where did the shift come in where teams are like, yeah, we're going to make some trades, but we're not pushing all in?
Yeah, it's been fascinating because even five, you know, so like you said, 20 years ago, I'm today is a 21st anniversary. I was with the Mets assistant GM. We tried to trade for Barry Larkin. We were giving up our number one prospect for Barry friggin' Larkin to play shortstop because ours got injured. And he didn't accept the trade. He was a 10-5 guy, and he rejected it because he wanted a long term deal. So we had to go to our next guy on the list, which was Mike Bordick, who obviously a former A. He was fantastic for us. We got to the World Series with him. Yeah. But we were willing to give up our number one prospect. And listen, go to 2016 even. Theo Epstein with the Cubs. I know they had the curse and they had won forever or whatever. But he gave up some legit it ended up being Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber Torres for Chapman.
Chapman. Right. For Aroldis Chapman. And Chapman got him a World Series ring. So I don't get it, guys. This is one of those things where I'm going, wait a minute. You can give up one of your top five prospects for a rental. It should put you over the top. And listen, I think Dave Dombrowski, when he was GM of the Red Sox, he did it. He did it there too. Like he was willing to give up guys for longer term, let's say for a full season of control. So most of it has been, I think, a new age executives looking at the value and saying, we got these guys under control. I don't want to make a mistake because I'm going to get criticized or I might lose my job. Like there's a lot of that goes on in the game right now, but in fairness too, do you want to be the Chicago White Sox right now who gave up Fernando Tatis Jr. for James Shields? Like, I don't want to be that guy. Avoiding
my owner's eye. That's big game, James.
Right. So I don't want to look my owner in the eye every night that Fernando Tatis Jr. comes to the plate. So there's the back and forth that teams kind of go about, in these type of deals. And so I don't think you're going to see any top prospects being traded this year either.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, Jim, because – and then, look, the Cubs were almost a separate entity because of the drought they had, and they had a real chance. And obviously Theo just said, screw it. If we don't win the Super Bowl, it's not going to be a great trade because not only did they lose Torres, Chapman ended up going back to the Yankees. So the Yankees were like, cool, we'll make this trade. But it seems like if you have a chance to win the World Series, most teams aren't willing to take that chance. And maybe because the wild card's in play now, but they don't want to take the chance of this is a good trade only if we win the World Series, where more people were willing to take that chance and say, screw it. We're not guaranteed to be back here in following years. Let's take a shot at it while we have a shot at it. And again, for every Fernando Tatis, who you look terrible when you make that trade and you don't win the World Series, there's a lot of guys out there that get traded, and we never hear from them. We don't even know who those guys are, but it just seems like prospects are almost so coveted now that you almost get the feeling like, well, prospects are going to hit. Well, that's not necessarily – even a top five prospect in your organization may do nothing. I mean, I look at my Angels and Joe Adell. He's a nothing last year, and I don't even know if he's coming up this year. But you don't know what you're getting with a prospect. But, I mean, I think analytics has a lot to do with it, too, with everybody being able to break stuff down and what they project for someone and what they project for a player to come over. So it's just – it is interesting. And I only bring this up, Jim, because I used to love the trade deadline. It was so much fun because you knew big names were going to switch teams. You know, the teams that were up at the top were going to get stronger, and then maybe if your team was weaker, they'd get some prospects and you had some hope for the future. But that just if you have prospects now, you can almost rest assured you're probably going to keep them for better or worse.
Yeah, well, you're right. And I think that's the, at some point I've been kind of expecting that it might change, and guys are like, listen, I've been losing, or I've been out of the postseason mix for so long. and I got to give up a couple of these prospects. And I think like A.J. Preller down in San Diego is probably one of those where his owner said, listen, I'm sick of losing. And he started giving up some of his prospects in these deals for Snell and Darvish and even last year, too, for Clevinger and guys like that. And Clevinger got hurt. But I mean, the point is, like, there are certain guys, certain owners that go, listen, I'm done with these prospects. Give me some major league players. Let me win some frigging games. So I think that's where I thought it would turn more. It really hasn't. That's the one big surprise that I feel like we haven't seen that shift back. Because a lot of times in baseball, we see this big shift, and then we realize we've gone too far. But we kind of go back more towards the middle. We haven't seen that yet in Major League Baseball.
You'd swear that these guys were playing for Baseball America's Organization of the Year over the World Series at times.
Right. That trophy isn't as much fun to put up in your office, I can tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody wants to go to North Carolina necessarily for the award ceremony. All right, okay, how about Starling Marte? A lot of talk about Marte. Yeah. What do you think of the Giants' outfield? You know, a lot of people expect Duggar to have a regression offensively, potentially, on the first half. That would make sense. But what do you think of Marte? What kind of prospect will it take to get Marte, you think? And ultimately, what do you think Farhan gets done before next Friday?
Well, I love Marte as a player. He's one of those that, you know, if you have a chance to get him, you do it. I think, within reason, I think it's going to take two prospects. They're going to push for a top five. I don't think you'll have to do that. I use MLB Pipeline as the prospect list. So, you know, the Harrison, Matos, you know, that group down, Luis Toribio, there's guys like that in their prospects, Will Wilson. I don't know if you they're going to probably ask for it. I don't know if you give him up. Like some of these guys, you got to do your homework on the health wise. But I think it's going to take two prospects of, let's say, one in the top 10. When I say that's like the bottom, 6 to 10 area, and then another one in probably the 10 to 15 range. And if you did that, that's going to get you in the mix for Marte. And I think the Marlins actually would do what the Yankees did with Chapman. Like they'll trade him, and then they'll be one of the first to go after him in the wintertime to try to re-sign him.
What's the biggest name you think we'll see moving before the trade deadline?
It might be Marte. You know, if he in fact is moved, I think Trey Mancini obviously was in the Home Run Derby. That's another one. There's some I think Bryant's still going. I know he came out of the game recently. It's always health related. I think it's going to be somebody with the Cubs, even with Bryant or Baez. I don't think Rizzo at the end of the day is going to be moved. I think they want to re-sign him, but I don't think there's any chance they can re-sign Bryant. So, to me, if I were to put a wager on it, where a week from tomorrow is the deadline, I'd say Chris Bryant would be the highest profile position player. Craig Kimbrell probably the biggest closer, and then position. I mean, starting pitching wise, for me it's slim pickings. I'd probably go John Gray.
Hey, real quick before we let you go, and we appreciate you you joining us as a GM. How do you weigh the rental situation if you think you can get that guy and you want that guy in the off season? Do you say, "Well, I don't want to give up anything. I can get this guy in free agency"? Do you have to weigh how much it would mean to have him come over to your organization for a couple months, maybe win, and maybe that helps him decide that, hey, I like the organization, I like the city, and maybe I'd love to sign here. How do you weigh those things?
Yeah, that's a tougher call because, a lot of times, if you acquire somebody, you'll have a short window to keep them. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it happen that way. But for the most part, they've come this far before free agency. Usually their mind's already made up. They don't want to entertain signing. So I guess going to the assumption, if I'm trading for him, he's going to be a free agent. We'll make a run at him if we like him. But, I just make the assumption you're not going to be able to – he's not going to cut you any deals to stay.
Yeah, especially if he's a Scott Boras client. You know he's going to free agency.
For sure. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Does Boras know the word deal? Come on. There's no bargains for Boras.
It depends. If you ask him – he says, I signed plenty of guys before free agency. The fact is he's been doing it for 30 years, and you can count them on two hands.
Yeah, I think Jared Weaver was one of them. Jared Weaver was one of them who signed with the Angels, and he just said, "Look, this is where I want to be. If $85 million isn't enough for me, then I have problems." Because you know, Boris wanted him to go to free agency. It was probably Weaver who said, "Look, you work for me. Get this deal done. I'm staying here."
Yeah. Hey, you remember the Angels that signed early with Boris? Because there wasn't. And by the way, as you know, not many Boris represented clients end up as an Angel.
No, they do not with
Artie Moreno.
No, not at all. Hey, Jim, we certainly appreciate the time. Know it's a busy time of year, and thank you very much for sharing your insights with us.
All right. You got it, guys. All right, talk to you.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
He's good.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.